Jewish Queen Live Chat with the Black Jewish Queen herself, your host, Dr. Denise Gotautis.
Hi, everyone. We have a very, very special program today. Today, we will be welcoming a new host on the Black Jewish Queen Live Chat, and we also have a special visitor from the chat reel. I'm not going to give a name. He's going to surprise you after this commercial break. So stay tuned and listen in to the Black Jewish Queen Live Chat. We have a very, very special guest and a new co-host. Stay tuned.
Shalom and hello. This is Dr. Denise Gotautis. I am a metaphysician and a licensed psychotherapist and a natural medicine doctor. I am also the host of the Black Jewish Queen Live Chat and also one of the hosts of the Chat Reel with Billy and Friends. If you are enjoying these programs, please support our cause to keep our programs on the air, so that we can continue covering topics that matter to you. You can send your donations in any amount to paypal.me/psychotherapy-chekou. That is paypal.me/psychotherapy-chekou. We look forward to your support. Thank you so much for listening to our program.
I think we should sing this. Let's try this.
Adima, I in the The rainy city where my mom lived, in Jerusalem, the golden city that was conquered. But still we moving onward, motherland conquest. Smell me like an armpit. Yeah, yeah, we gon' play it loud until they kill it. Yeah, yeah, we gon' blow the roof off the building. Yeah, yeah, we gon' play that motherland bounce. Check it out now, motherland bounce. Check it out now, motherland bounce. We baba. My mama told me that I read good. Been on my straight and narrow, but my history is the hood. Thank God today that we could buy a box of Cheerios or Kix. I can even buy tricks. I'm no longer on wick. EBT card ripped in my passport lip. Sent like a notary from every country that I went. Ain't a country like this from the others you've been sent. Black is beautiful. This gon' be the motherland hit. Yeah. Yeah. We gon' play it loud until they kill it. Yeah. Yeah. We gon' blow the roof off the building. Yeah. Yeah, we gon' play that motherland bounce. Check it out now, motherland bounce. Check it out now, motherland bounce. We baba. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bounce. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bounce. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We bounce. Yeah, 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 yeah. He said it's God's plan, but I'm God's man. Yeah, I used to run with BGD. Yeah, I dropped the B and put a O after the G. Yeah. 6 points, still big up King D. In the synagogue, camouflage, but I can't wipe the skin off. I'm proud of it, it's loud a bit, but I'm not trying to crisscross. I done made it this far, hold it all in my heart. I hold my breath and brace myself when they take their socks off. Ain't no monkey business, cause ain't no monkeys in here. I know what you've been thinking, the Black Abe Lincoln. Just wanted you to be aware. Signing off, it's Mr. Black, Hitler's worst nightmare, yeah. Yeah, we gon' play it loud until they kill it. Yeah, yeah, we gon' blow the roof off the building. Yeah, yeah, we gon' play that motherland bounce. Check it out now, motherland bounce. Check it out now, motherland bounce. We baba. Yeah, we gon' play it loud until they kill it. Yeah, yeah, we gon' blow the roof off the building. Yeah, yeah, we gon' play that motherland bounce. Check it out now, motherland bounce. Check it out now, motherland bounce. We baba.
Introducing the Black Jewish Queen Live Chat. With the Black Jewish Queen herself, your host, Dr. Denise Gotautis.
That was Motherland Bounce. It was with Neeson Black. And we hope to one day have Neeson and everyone in his crew on. So, anyways, getting back to today's program, we have a very, very, very special Black Jewish Queen live chat. We want to introduce our new co-host, and we also have a special guest on today. It is Billy Tappan from the Chat Reel with Billy and Friends. And we just want to welcome him today, and he's here with us today to welcome our new co-host, Obi Clark. So I just want everybody to give him that warm welcome. And right now, I want to say a few words before
Obi comes on. He was born in 1984 in San Francisco, and he was raised between Oakland and the city. And as a young child, he was a voracious reader. He loved to read. And so he became interested in the topic of Jews of color from growing up Rastafarian and Muslim. Both religions directed him to the children of Israel and to the God of Israel. He started studying Judaism at 17 years old with the help of Hashem. He led many, many guys. He led many spirit guides that helped him along the way. Okay, and most of them were from other nations like Ethiopia, Somalia, Tanzania, Pakistan, Arabia. And Obi also has a Spanish heritage descending from the Panamanians on his father's side, the Louisiana Creoles. And with him, I talked about that because my grandmother, she was born with that Louisiana Creole. She was born in that area. And so he says his Jewish inclinations developed from family traditions on his mother's side and father's side of not eating pork and having Hebraic middle names on the female side and butchering their own meat, you know, in order probably to keep up with cash root. Now, Obi says his father's family name is Clark Dash Elamin, okay? And he has an understanding of Hebrew, Aramaic, Spanish, and French. And right now, everybody in the chat reel, I want you to give it up for our new co-host, Obi Clark.
All right.
Welcome, Obi. Welcome, welcome. We welcome
yeah,
you to the Black Jewish Queen Live Chat. And Billy, he's on to welcome you as well. We welcome you very much. Yeah.
Glad
now,
to have
Obi.
You. Glad to have you.
Oh, yeah. We are so glad.
Yes.
And, you know, I wanted to ask Obi, how are you feeling right now?
I am feeling really kind of overwhelmed. You know, I'm excited, you know, but I'm a firm believer that Hashem don't lead you in a direction that you shouldn't be in. And as you walk with Derek, you're going to meet great people like I'm meeting you, Dr. Denise, and Billy, and, you know, all the other great people we're going to have on the show and furthermore.
Okay, we're getting
fading,
a little feedback.
Yeah, a little feedback.
Sorry. Oh, okay. So, what was the last part you heard?
Yeah.
We actually heard it. There's a feedback.
Yeah.
So, yes.
And I don't know where it's coming from.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, I welcome you to be a part of the team with the chat reel as well as the Nubian Queen, you know, Denise. So I think we have a good situation going. So she is very, very she's very good person, great person, and I think we're going to do well. So
I think
let's
so
see what
too.
We got. Yes, I think
we're
going to do
well.
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
And Obi, I'm just ecstatic at having you because of your, you know, the experience that you do have with the Jewish community. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and your shul? Where do you want to begin?
Baruch Hashem. First, I want to thank you, Dr. Denise, and you too, Billy, for the opportunity. And I also want to thank Rabbi Mark Bloom, that's the head of Temple Beth Abraham out of Oakland, California.
All right.
If it weren't for him, mm-hmm. I would not have even joined Facebook because I had took a cool down for 3 years. But he was like, man, get back on there. For whatever reason, he had told me that, and I'm glad he did. So, and so my school is conservative also. The rabbi.
Oh, cool.
Yes, right. So we have a very diverse community,
community orientated as far as in the Bay Area. A lot of things, you know, we're super liberal out here. We're really about protesting and standing up for our rights out here in the Jewish community, especially all our sister temples with Temple Beth Abraham. We all like to participate in that capacity. Let's see. Where can I start? Okay, so I would like to. Okay, so I was born in 19. I'm sorry, huh?
Oh, go ahead. You're doing great. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, because.
Okay.
Yeah. The listeners, of course, they want to know all about you. So you keep it going, Obi.
I'm going for it. Here we go. All right. So I was born in 1984 in San Francisco, California, at Mount Zion Hospital in Fillmore District. My mother was actually heading to East Oakland, but the actual MacArthur Maze, the freeway out here, she had to end up going towards San Francisco in that direction. And I actually my mother actually gave birth to me on the Bay Bridge, the old Bay Bridge, not the new one. So
really?
That's how I ended up
here. Oh, wow.
Yeah, right. I know, it's amazing, right? So that's how I ended up being born in San Francisco. I'm sorry. Huh?
Okay.
Yeah, so, I like San Francisco.
Right. My mother stayed there in San Francisco until I was five, and then she moved into she moved to Oakland by Lake Merritt. Now, you know, growing up in the 80s, I still grew up with the remnant of the Black Panther Party and a lot of the social soldiers that was part of the Bay Area movements and things of that nature, like People's Park and things like that. So growing up, we had a different foundation growing up, kids that grew up in the 80s and the 90s, especially other people's parents still cared about other people's children, and they were still able to run outside and play and things, you know, that unfortunately children don't experience nowadays. So growing up with that mentality and that sense of community, I always had the type of mind to each one teach one. So growing up with that mentality, even when I was in elementary school, I was like a bookworm. You know, I always got good grades, you know, math Olympics, and used to go to the Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream speech auditorium at the Henry J. Kaiser Center. Shout out to my elementary school, Longfellow. And you know, I ended up losing my way as a teen, you know, in the 90s in Oakland and in the Bay Area at large. You know, it was really rough.
Yeah.
You know, I can't, you know, it's rough everywhere. But, you know, it was different because in the Bay, well, just speaking of Oakland in general, you know, we was really about Black love and Black empowerment. And it was sad to see what happened with the drugs, with crack cocaine happened to our neighborhoods. And you know, I'm getting kind of choked up thinking about it because, you know, a lot of my friends didn't make it, you know, to even be 16 to 21. And they'll be tripping out. They heard me talking on the phone. I mean, talking on the radio right now, I'll tell you that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no, you're fine.
No, go ahead.
But, yeah, I know what you mean. You know, that experiencing something like that in Oakland with, you know, the drugs, because, yes, I was raised in the inner city neighborhoods where, oh, gosh, I won't even go into it, but I remember when they dropped all that stuff in the neighborhoods in Los Angeles. I wasn't far from you. But they dropped all those drugs in there on them kids, and they blame the kids who were hopeless in those neighborhoods. I'm with you on that. I could see. Yeah, it's very sad, and, you know, yeah. I'm going to let you tell your story, though. But, yeah, I know what you mean because, you know what, I went to Magic Johnson Mall. I think it was towards Baldwin Hills in Los Angeles. After I had left, you know, I was, you know, working on a military base. And one of my friends approached me. She says, "How do you feel, Denise? that half of your graduating class, all of the boys that you went to school with, how does it make you feel to know that over half of them are dead? So, Obi, I relate.
Yeah.
I relate.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
And I'm sure Billy can relate.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
You know, and it really reinforces the generation gap also that we're suffering with the children right now, I totally believe. But to go back to that total, go back to my the other part. So I said that to say that with, even amongst that type of background, my father, now I can get into my family history now, on my father's side, my grandfather, Lewis Sr., was raised in the sticks in Homer, Louisiana, on a ranch, where they butchered their own meat and chickens, and you know, real country, real whatever you think that time period was about, he was living it. And and he only had a fifth grade education, and he came to California, and he had his own masonry company, and a restaurant. A barbecue restaurant. So he used the skills of his hands to overcome the migration from the South to the Western states, or to the North or Midwest during that time period in the 60s. But also during that time period, he was a part of the Nation of Islam. So anybody that's aware of that time period, the social upheaval and civil disobedience and just the outright, you know, desecration of just human rights, you know, just whatever adjective or whatever you want to put to it, that's what that time period was. He decided to follow Malcolm. After Malcolm got assassinated, he switched from the Nation to go to be Orthodox Islam, a Sunni Muslim. So,
my grandfather had 15 children. My father was
My father was the fifth to the last of the baby. So that end of the family, there was the Clarks. Then my grandfather got his name legally changed to Abdullah El Amin. So the last five of his children has the last name El Amin. So that's where the hyphenation comes from, between Clark El Amin. Now, my father, he grew up Islamic. He has an Islamic name and everything like that. But after I was born in the 80s, he switched to non-Trinitarian Christianity. I was still raised to learn Arabic. And I still can recite the Quran. I still know probably like five or six surahs by heart. I was very well versed in Islamic jurisprudence, history, Islamic history, but also learning that I was also learning about Jewish history at the same time. The Sephardic and Mizrahi and Yemeni traditions in particular.
Right. Wow. That's a background, because
it
your
is.
Jewish
really
faith, you could build a bridge and get people to understand each other. And Obi, that's why I knew you would be a great co-host, because that's what, you know, this is all about, the Black Jewish Queen Like Cat. This is to build a bridge with not only the American Jewish people, and those, you know, who you may even be familiar with the Muslims, so they could understand each other, and that there could be a bridge of peace, and people can better understand what it's like to be Black, Jewish, Black and Jewish, and not only Black and Jewish, a Black Jewish man, as well as me being, you know, a female, and we could bring something that is not familiar, make it familiar to everybody, make it to where they understand it. And that's what it's about. I know that It was not a mistake. But, oh, go on with your story. It's very interesting.
I love it. Okay,
yeah, how did you become Jewish? Do you have like a Jewish heritage, ancestry, or what have you?
So that's what my mother's family history comes in at. As me and you spoke,
uh-huh.
all the women on my maternal side, in my immediate family, which is my sister, my mother, my grandmother and her mother all had Hebraic little last names. Either it was Elizabeth, Lizbeth, Elisheba, or something like that. That was always their middle names. So that was
right.
Just one thing. Once I got of age, I really started realizing. Now, my mother's family is also from the sticks, you know, in Macon, Georgia. Shout out Georgia. They grew up Pentecostal. If anybody don't know what
mm-hmm.
Pentecostal is, that's the holiness, baptizing fire, kneading in the water, like, you know, in church every 7 days out the week, you know, like the real down
right.
Bible Belt type of church stuff. My mother grew up with that. And also in the South, for those that's not familiar, voodoo and hoodoo is very big. Now, hoodoo is voodoo's like folk magic or natural magic, incantations, like the pouring of brick dust in front of your house so bad spirits won't enter, or burning your hair so somebody won't use it to put a curse on you. You know, we
mm-hmm.
I grew up in that
yeah.
type of thing. You
yeah.
know, right?
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
And a lot of people out here in California especially have family members that still talk about don't brush when you sweep in the floor, don't hit my foot with your broom and spit on it or something like that. So,
oh
you
my
know,
goodness,
and to,
yeah.
to right, like, but to each his own. You know, every religion has a certain
yeah.
amount of folk magic or religion too. I mean, you know, folk customs to it. So for what
right.
it is, for what it's worth, I just believe, you know, that's just another part of the ancestors. You know what I'm saying? The long tapestry of our lineage is just all intermixing because. You know, America, the South America, the West Indies, and South North America, you know, is a melting
yeah.
pot of all type of everything. You know, Native American, Latin. You know, me and you, Denise, we talk about our different heritage and everything, like the gumbo
yeah.
of our bloodlines and stuff. So, okay, hold on,
yeah.
I digress. Let me get back to my mother. So, the reason why I became Jewish, right? So,
right.
So it was also certain things that my mother didn't do. She didn't eat pork and a lot of things of that nature when we was growing. Me and my sister was very, very little. But you know, after she came out to California by herself on her own, and you know, during the 80s, government cheese and I mean, you know, food stamps. And,
oh
you know,
yeah.
Right, you know, we ended up eating
that
bologna. You know, it just, you know, it comes with the territory, right? And we was really
right.
poor. We was poor. I can't even describe the type of poverty that we grew up in the 80s, like in the late 80s and the 90s. You know, in East Oakland, North Oakland, West Oakland. It. I mean, like I said, it was happening everywhere, but in LA also, but. One thing that I came up out of that with is the sense of faith, and that's what my mother instilled in me. And she always told me that
mm-hmm.
I can't make you a man, but God will lead you to be whoever you need to be. So when she started to follow Rastafarianism and things of that nature, I started listening to Bob, I still call him a prophet, you know, Bob Marley, you know, and I started reading about
right.
Haile Selassie the first conquering lion of Judah, 225th
mm-hmm.
emperor. From the, you know, Queen Sheba and Solomon and stuff like that. The legacy of it is really just what really grabbed my heartstrings, you know, and the story of Solomon was always prevailing in the South, you know, because my mother always
right.
used to write, my mother used to always get a piece of paper, tear it in half and write Proverbs or Psalms all across the walls with tape on it. So whenever I was going to school in the morning, I always would see different Psalms, but I didn't realize what those Psalms was for, different healings and different ailments and different protections and stuff like that. Didn't know. So
wow.
I got older.
Yes.
Right.
Wow.
So
that's right.
Right. Right. You
awesome.
Know, and things that you look, things once you realize, once you get older, right? So,
right, that is.
So then, so as I got older, I wanted to do a family search. This was back in 2006 or 7. And this is when Ancestry.com first started. Before all the big hype of 23andMe and all that database stuff. So I put in, and back then the technology only was able to give you like your family lineage in America going back to like probably 1830s. So I was able
right.
to find out my family lineage and found out that my family came from Colon City, Panama. And that added up with the story that my mother told me that my great-great-grandfather came from another country to Georgia, and he was like some blue-eyed, light-skinned, wavy-haired guy that had Negroid features, but he came with money, and he bought land, but the people in Georgia took it from him, and that's how we ended up in the sticks and poverty and stuff like that. So,
right.
So I just started to gather all that information, and then I just felt like my spirit guides, like a guy from Tunisia. His name was Sefmar El Amin. He was the one that's actually responsible for me becoming a Jew, because when I met him, his family was Ibadi Muslim. Now that was the original Islam before Sunni and Shia. We'll talk about that some other time. But that was the Islam that they brought from the Islam that they brought from the Yemen when they spread it across North Africa. His family came from the Yemen, which was originally Jews, and then his mother's side of family came from Baghdad, but they eventually, you know, over the time of period, they became Islamic or whatever. But he ended up teaching me, make a long story short, he ended up teaching me Arabic, and he ended up teaching me about metaphysics, Plato, Kant, Nietzsche, Masonic, Kabbalah, all of the esoteric sciences, just opened up my whole world, you know, and this is when I was like 18, 19 years old, and I haven't been the same since. And when he taught me Arabic, he told me that his family was Jewish, but he was like, and he taught me French too. He was the one that originally taught me my foundational understanding of French. But I forgot to mention that my father, like I said, being Creole, I spoke Creole probably till I was like 7 or 8 years old. But that was the last of my French. So going back to Seth, so he
That's
taught me the
awesome.
French, but he was teaching me Arabic, but I taught myself Hebrew, because it was the sister language of Arabic, right? So, and he put me,
awesome.
And he put me on the path, right? I mean, it's a real tapestry. It gets really, really tedious on this story. If you really want to hear the whole ins and out of the wovenness of my blanket, honestly.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Hold that thought, Obi, because we are going to go into a real fast commercial break and song. It's one song. It cracked me up so bad. It's I forgot who sung the song, but it's called Frumi, you know, but really, really holy guys. Yeah. I want you to listen to this. But anyways,
I want to check it out.
Added this in with the commercial break. We'll be right back, everybody. Hold that thought, Obi. Hold that thought.
I got it.
Your thoughts in.
All right.
We'll be back.
Shalom and hello. This is Dr. Denise Sotadis. I am a metaphysician and a licensed psychotherapist and a natural medicine doctor. I am also the host of the Black Jewish Queen live chat and also one of the hosts of the chat reel with Billy and Friends. If you are enjoying these programs, please support our cause to keep our programs on the air so that we can continue covering topics that matter to you. You can send your donation in any amount to paypal.me/psychotherapy-chekou. That is paypal.me/psychotherapy-chekou. We look forward to your support. Thank you so much for listening to our program.
From author Dr. Denise Gotatis comes a self-help guide that will give you valuable information about the world around you in ways never imagined. The Metaphysical God in Relation to His Creation. Available on Amazon. In this must-read book, you will learn about your importance in the world and the metaphysical universe around you. You will be introduced to the Metaphysical God who has a relationship with you and those around you. Whether you are aware of this or not, you come into contact with Him daily. He is omnipresent metaphysically. He is in and outside of His creation. And what does a metaphysical God have to do with you and the creation around you? You are a very big piece of a huge puzzle. The Metaphysical God in Relation to His Creator from author Dr. Denise Gotatis is available on Amazon. Order your copy right now.
Will you meet me on Shabbos at the shul? to know. Your time is running out. Don't know the burden you'll have to carry when your folks are gonna get you married. And fool me, is that the real you there? Or is that a shadow instead of your real hair? But if you're still single, then I just can't sit still.
No, no, no.
And I prove it. Oh, won't you say you will? 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 Oh, won't you?
Baruch ata Adonai.
Baruch ata Adonai.
Baruch abba Yerushalayim.
Baruch
ata Adonai. Baruch abba Yerushalayim. Israel la Yakira.
אני אוהב אותך. ישראלה יא חקירתי, ישראלה יא קירתי, ישראלה יא קירתי, ישראלה יא קירתי. אני אוהב אותך, ישראלה יא חקירתי,
Black Jewish Queen Live Chat with the Black Jewish Queen herself, your host, Dr. Denise Gotautis.
Welcome, welcome. Welcome back, everybody. Today, we are inviting,
yes,
we are not only inviting, we are welcoming our co-host, Obi Clark. He was telling about himself, and we are just so glad to have him on the Black Jewish Queen Live Chat.
Yes. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for loaning me your ear. I promise I'll give it back to you.
No, you're doing fine.
And yes.
You're doing fine.
Oh, yes.
I'm just sitting back here.
You are.
Just sitting back here listening.
I'm sitting back here listening.
Thank you, brother.
And,
yes,
and really getting enlightened. Getting enlightened on a lot of different
Billy
things.
Captain,
you know, you have
oh,
yes,
thank you so much.
We have a great
really
history
here.
Yeah, you
oh,
got a great
oh,
history.
Yeah.
I mean, what to do? So I'll let you get
love
back
you.
To it, and I'm just going to listen. And when you
oh,
need
my.
Me, I'm there. So, Denise, so if you need me. Okay.
All right. So
and everybody,
pick up where I left
everybody
off
that extra voice that you hear is Billy tapping from the chat reel with Billy and friends. We're going to be on tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern time, so I hope everybody come and to make that program. It's going to be really, really good.
Yes, indeed. Please make that.
Thank you so much for that. I really appreciate that. And like I said, Denise is a host on the show as well, and it's going to be a great show. So with our sister station, with the Black Jewish Queen, we got some things that we want to do and make a difference in this world. So back to you.
Yes.
That's right.
I'm
That's
excited.
Fun.
Obi, he's sharing a great history. You take it away, Obi. I mean, it's just awesome what you were sharing.
Thank you, sir.
About how okay. your culture, the culture was just, you know, your culture, what you have is so diverse and it's so unique. That I know this is the best decision ever that we could ever make with
you know,
having
you
as a co-host.
Don't have me start choking up on this phone right now. Don't do that to me, Denise. I'm getting teary eyed right now. You do that to me.
Okay.
I got a presentation right now. I'm going to pick up. So I believe I was still talking about my mother, and then the question that you asked me was, how did I actually come to embrace Judaism? And to as I was thinking about it during the break, because you played my boy Alpha Blondie, it's songs like that and vibe that made me realize that it's only one God, and and where you find him at is where your heart leads you. Growing up in unbeknownst to a lot of people, that in the Quran, don't quote me on what surah it says, that there's no compulsion in religion. And if you're a Muslim, you'll be judged by the words of Prophet Muhammad. If you're a Jew, you'll be judged by the words of Moses. If you're a Christian, you'll be judged by the words of Isa, Jesus. So what people don't realize is that Islam wasn't such a restrictive cannibalistic in most people's eyes religion across the world. There is space for belief, because if that's not so, Islamic Spain would not even exist for 800 some years. That was the height of where the Rambam came from, and all the great sages in the right, Cador, you know, it was that type of I lost my track of thought. It was that type of Judaism that it was that type of Judaism that inspired me with the mix of the Rastafarianism that I grew up with, and being with my friend Seth Alamine, teaching me about North Africa, what it really was about before the French came. What particular races of people and customs? I actually lived with this man for like 3 years. So, we had Shay. Yeah, we had Shay every day, all day. I have drunk I've never drunk so much tea in my mouth. In my life, I drunk so much tea, like the roof of my mouth was starting to get tender. So, and they drink real. And it was so sweet. But it was that amongst learning about their pop stars, the culture, the history of the Carthaginians, Hannibal and what role
Egypt.
They played in shaping the modern world, because had Hannibal succeeded, there would have never been no Rome. And there would have been no world that we're living in right now. So that's how close the dynamics of what African And what people don't realize is that the Carthaginians, who are Canaanites, are our cousins, the Israelite cousins, you know, the Phoenicians,
yeah,
that traveled, you know, a lot of the Israelite tribes of the northern kingdoms, Asher, Dan, Naphtali, and things of that nature, Zebulun, they all would ride with Phoenician merchants and ride to North Africa, Libya, Morocco, and Spain, Italy, and think Greece and all that stuff. So Judaism has been spreading across the Mediterranean and in Africa for many millennia, as long as you know,
yeah,
since we can remember. So it didn't feel so adverse to me that the spirit guides, and most of the people that when I mentioned spirit guides, those people are people that came from what they call lost countries of the countries of the lost tribes of Israel, you know, Pakistan and Afghanistan,
right,
and Somalia, Ethiopia, Libya, Tunisia, and all the other people that I've talked to. I can't even rename right now, especially the people that I've met from Yemen. They really changed my life. They told me that their community are the descendants of the Jews that left with Jeremiah the prophet to Yemen.
Wow.
Right? And I was learning up under those people about Judaism. So as I got older, it was pretty much a hands down understanding that all the religions that I've studied, and I study comparative religion also. And I would be amiss not to mention that there was like a 2 to 3 year point in my life during my teens where I did go to it was a church called Joshua Christian Church in Oakland, and I was the youth spiritual leader at the time. I was like 12, 13, or 14 because at the time my mom was just trying to find any type of way to get me out of the streets at that time.
Right.
And she put me in a church. And she put me in church, and there was a lot of the guys in my neighborhood that took me and showed me, Reverend Paul Way, bless his spirit, and Reverend Greg Fowler, who taught me how to do carpentry work and landscaping when I was like 13 or 14 years old. So they gave me skills in my hands. So I did walk away from that as a church, and also I had read the Bible like 2 times. Back and forth by myself at that time.
Right.
I didn't really understand what I was reading, but I still,
right,
as I got older, I always had that inquisitiveness of, you know, what I was reading. But it's always,
right,
it's a different practical application when you're older, right?
That's right. It is. Now, tell us a little bit about now. Obi, I know we're questioning you.
Oh,
and Billy, did you have any thoughts? Did you have any questions you wanted to ask Obi?
You know what? I'm very impressed to have him aboard with all the bad history that he has that people really need to understand and realize. We're all somewhat connected, but on the voodoo stuff, now you said it's good voodoo. That was called what now?
It's called white magic.
White magic.
Yeah, you only do things to help people, if somebody's child is ill. But no, I hate that the black magic has to have the black on. You know, the white, you know, the labels, the connotations that come with those white magic,
right,
good and black magic. I believe, you know, once I really got to know Hashem is the overseer of good and evil. You know what I'm saying? There's no, because
that's right,
to try to separate like evil is its own entity that Hashem has no control over. That's totally an error. And I didn't know that, you know, and that comes a lot from our dualistic understanding of religions. That came from the Greeks and the Persians, and that came into the Abrahamic religions to a certain extent, to, you know, what have you. But I believe now, going back to what you're saying about the white magic and the black magic, I just believe if a person believes in it, and it's a part of their lineage, you know, we all have spiritual lineages just like we have genetic lineages also. Some things that I can share with people, some things I can share with people that happened in my life will go over their head, or they will just sit here and just write me off. But then there are some people that have that spirit, but they can't tell nobody, and now they got somebody talking about it like, oh, yeah, okay, I can talk to him. So that's kind of like the realm of where white and black magic leads for me, because it's unambiguous. You know, I'll just leave it at that.
This is the thing that I experienced with a person that was from Mississippi. And this person actually believed in that. He was so afraid of his sister-in-law that if she was anywhere around, he had to run to get, you know, some help, because he figured she had put something on him. So it was
it's a vex. Yeah. You're talking about vexing. It's vexing. Yeah, you call that vexing. And that is when a person's aura energy is so dominant over your energy that you have no, you know, our mind, you got the limbic system in your brain. I forgot what the dinosaur, the lizard brain, where it's fight or flight. And when you get to that situation and you don't have and your spirit is not secure or strong, that's what caused that type of situation.
That is something.
I think one time somebody put some flour around his house and he wouldn't go in there until actually found somebody to help him.
That's reminding me of some of the stuff with my grandmother, you know, think of it, because, she wasn't the thing as far as the hair and stuff is concerned. And,
you know about that.
The hair, and then, you know, the love potions. I won't go into the disgusting. Okay, but putting things in guy's food and yuck. I mean, so she was from Louisiana as well with the with that custom. But the interesting thing about it was her grandmother was from Ethiopia. And she, she was learning about being her dad was teaching her about a little bit of Rastafari, you know, I can't pronounce it, the Rastafarians, you know, the, before she died, she asked me for a copy of the photo of Haile Selassie, because her dad, he used to show her, you know, the pictures and everything, but that culture, it reaches back, because her mother, her grandmother, I think it was a grandmother, great grandmother, she actually was stolen off of the coast of Africa, but she was Ethiopian, and they said that we traced it. They had come off of the Louisiana coast. It was the last slave ship. It was the last slave ship, the one that they found. We had untraced that, my daughter-in-law, she found this, and I'm like, wow, you know, so it's kind of touching, Obi, that, you know, it's around that same area.
Yeah, we know, and it runs real deep. It's a lot of things, and I can just, like I said, I can speak just for a lot of the people that's in California that I grew up with. We did things and said things that we didn't even know why we were saying them, but we were totally against it. You know what I'm saying? And as I look back at it now, as I'm older, it's really amazing how, like me, I've never been back to Georgia, but sometimes out of now and then, you'll hear me with my country draw, and it'll come out. And you'll be like, what you just say? And you be like, and I just did it the other day, but it's like I said, that's the genetics. But the thing that I just want to point out to is that also want to just elaborate on is that each person I read somewhere that each person that you see every day is a culmination of thousands of years of that person's bloodline reinventing itself. Each person that you see is a representative of thousands of years of that bloodline. And you can, if you just think about all the things that you are interested in, or you just think that you just out the blue thought that that's what you was about, you didn't know that that came from your bloodline, and it's just waking up. You know, to certain parts of your life, your genetic markers wake up and like, oh, you know, just like me, I'm a chef, right? I didn't mention that in my bio, but I'm a chef. But I didn't know until I got older that on my mother's side and on my father's side, they all was chefs or cooks or bakers or stuff like that. And that's why cooking came so natural to me right now. So it's just things like that and just how we're talking about Judaism. It's an awakening, and me and you, Denise, was talking about the Valley of the Dry Bones with Jeremiah. You know,
yes.
And I'm not saying nothing about this is the Messianic age or anything of that nature. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that the bones start rattling
when certain things happen.
Just throughout history. Now Israel is going
Oh, you can.
Right now.
Hey, we're waiting on the Mashiach.
Okay.
So we have a spell of
authoritarianism going across the world, fascism, and I don't know what to categorize that in Israel with our leaders as far as the regression of the laws or Maccabean revolt of against the Sadducees and their lax view with Greek policies or whatever we're going through right now, and the availability of technology, how we all, just like how me and you met, Denise, and it was just so organic because, like I told you, I was like, you know what, some just told me, you know what, let me reach out to you and see if there's anything I can help you with. Then you told me, you know what, I've been looking for somebody to be a co-host. And then we just started talking and we started vibing. And it was a real vibe.
Yeah.
And now here we are, right?
Yeah.
But that was bigger than us, though, right? How it happened.
Right. It's a sham. Hashem is the
right
one. It's for a purpose, and it's for a reason, and it's for a time such as this, because it is needed. Israel, I had noticed when I was there, Israel was so diverse. But when you see Israel being represented on the TV, all you see are the European Jews. People need to know that it's so diverse. When I was there, I seen Chinese Jews. I seen Mexican Jews. I seen Jews from India and Jews from Brazil, Jews from South America, North America, everywhere. And it was not ever about skin color. It was one big family, and everybody watched out for each other and took care of each other. And, you know, the Black Jewish Queen Live Chat is to give the entire world exposure to what Israel is about, the diversity of Israel, because, you know what, here in the States, Obi and Billy, everybody is just divided, and this needs to stop. Israel is scattered.
Right.
Throughout the entire earth, all the nations of the earth. And I believe we could be that little light that shines light on the Jewish people and help the Jewish people to, you know, be a light to the entire world so that, you know, things can get better, the Tikkun Olam, you know, healing the world. And, you know, hey, I'm always one. I'm like, come, Mashiach. So, see, I really like the prophetic side of it. But I think each one of us, we can do something, and we can do something positive to reach out in different areas of the world. So,
I totally agree.
So, Obi, your experience is awesome. It's awesome.
Thank you.
I
thank you so much. I'm so humble. So humble. Thank you so much. It was a process. So I'm just trusting the process. It's not over yet, but I'm trusting the process.
Oh, we're all evolving and we're all learning. And,
yeah.
And you know what? I'm going to learn a lot from you. And whatever I have to offer, we'll teach each other. And if Hashem wants another co-host as well to join us, hey, we're open for that.
Let's do it.
You know, because
let's do it.
Come
on, everybody. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on. I mean, South American Jews, even European Jews, Ashkenazi, Sephardim. You know, come on. You're welcome. We're looking.
On the four corners. On the four corners.
We're looking.
Yes, so we're reaching out, definitely.
It's going to bring all the cultures together into an understanding that Israel is very diverse. There's even Palestinian Jews. There's even Arab, you know, Arabs who are Jews. So it's just in Israelis. And Israelis are in every culture. We've seen the Muslims living in Israel in a peaceful way. It's not what you see on TV. It's not. And I was in Israel, Obi, and I stayed a month with a friend, and they were Bedouin. And Sheikh Ayed, he's very popular. They welcomed me over in their camp. And they were the sweetest people ever. I will always remember him. Zainab was a teacher in Gadon. He was one of the guys, although, you know, the other guys were Hebrew Israelites. And I met some of the Hebrew Israelites in Dimona. They are the sweetest people ever. But they invited me in. I think it was the end. It was during the Passover and Ramadan, and they had invited me, a whole bunch of other Ashkenazi Jews, a whole bunch of other Muslim people, and they said, hey, you know, welcome to Israel. This whole table of food, it's for you. I'm like, really? But
wow.
I had a very nice conversation with Sheikh Ayed and learned a lot of history that I am going to share. And, you know, my experience and everything that we've done, I have yet, when we go back, to reconnect with these guys, because that's my intention. And it's very good because it's bringing everyone together. Everybody don't need to be fighting each other. If people understand each other, that we are the same but different cultures, that's it. But people are generally the same, is what I have learned in traveling. And it could bring about that peace that everybody wants. That, you know, everybody has to stop being so grabby, stop being so selfish. You know, it seemed like, you know, that the hope is dropped to the ground. And we could be that light, the Black Jewish Queen Life Chat, that bring back, you know, that hope in people, bring back that light in people, bring back that peace in people. I mean, bringing people together, Obi, that's my goal. That's Billy's goal, too. He's helping many people in the music industry. He's about to do a movie.
We're going to do it. And I'm excited, and I'm just totally motivated. And, you know, wherever this wherever we go and how far we take this this show, I just believe that it's going to be in Hashem's hands, and it's going to do what it's supposed to do for the tikkun olam. That's what I do know.
That's right.
Okay.
And hey,
that's right.
It is. And I know that you shared with me that you are going to soon move to Israel as well. Am I correct?
Yes, Hashem willing. I should be there in June. Hopefully, I'm hoping. I have a lot of other pending. Yeah, I have a lot of other pending personal situations that came up that may take me out of that. But that like I said, Hashem willing, I should be there this summer, and it's in June, so that's my birthday month. So I'll be spending my birthday out there in Israel.
Oh wow! Now is this a move or is it's a move?
Oh no, it's just it's with my shul. This was with my, the people from my show. They were having
people from your show.
Yeah, it's a couple people. Oh no, it's not an individual trip. No. Oh no, I didn't think that. Yes. No. It's
I thought you were making Leah. For Leah. Because
Leah. Oh, you know what? No, I'm sorry. No,
yeah.
It's a group experience. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Now, would you ever want to move to Israel?
You know what? I am definitely up for that. I honestly tell you the truth. I think that's just wow. And, you know, not just hearing, it's different when you think about it within yourself, but when you hear it, you know what? Yes, I would definitely do that. Yes, I will do that. Love it. I'm definitely looking forward to doing that someday. Yeah.
Hey, I'm going back over probably, you know, sometimes this year, even next, and I'm going to live there. And while there, I want to be able to do interviews with people.
Gotcha.
Be able
to
bring them in.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Be right there on the ground. Be there on the ground and travel, and we get to know, we're going to take this thing all over, get to know the Jews that live around the world.
Right.
So I ain't going to bring this into a travel situation.
I love it. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead and manifest that. I love it. That's right.
Yeah. My main place will be Israel. Yep. So,
there you go. Okay.
Right. Yes. So...
Yeah, I'll put that in my to-do list.
Oh, yeah. You know, having Passover in Israel was just awesome. My favorite holiday was Passover. We were members of joint with the Beersheba Shul, Eshel Abraham in Beersheba. It's a big conservative shul. Rabbi Michael Even David, he was so awesome. And the rabbi here, now let me give credit to my rabbi here in Wichita, Kansas, Rabbi Pepperstone, Andrew Pepperstone. I mean, Pepperstone, he's awesome. They remind me of each other. I was telling him that the other day, and Cantor Paula Pepperstone. Those people are just so awesome. They're in contact with the people in Israel. They know them. And I'm like, wow. Because we
have it's a small world. The Jewish world is a small world. You know that? We all know each other in some type of way.
Yes. Rabbi Pepperstone, he's highly respected in Israel. But Rabbi Michael Even David, I can't wait to get back to that shul too. Shuvot was my favorite one. He made me out to be a fan of that holiday. Shuvot, Billy, is when you stay up all night and you read the Torah, you read the Bible all night. And then in between, you're eating cheesecake and cheese, you know, goodies, everything. And that's what we were doing. We were eating. And then so that no one had fallen asleep, we had coffee. And we had, in between, we just go to classes. There were groups of people who spoke Hebrew and groups of people from South America. They broke us up into classes, Spanish class, and then we had an English. It was so much fun. We did yoga to stay away, everything. So we got to all get into that, though. Look at me. I'm getting off the subject. But Obi, welcome. I got excited.
That's all right.
For a second.
It's okay.
But, we are going, and Billy is going to visit Israel.
Yes.
I know Dr. Eve, she says, hey, Denise, I'm going to visit Israel when you get there. You know, she's planning on it. So, Billy, see, you have to, the whole chat reel, the whole crew, y'all got to come get y'all passport. We coming. We're going on a camel ride.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to my first camel ride, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
One hump or two humps, they don't matter.
Oh, yeah.
At my work, I was just talking to some people who went on a camel ride in Jordan. Oh, well, no, that was at my shul. I was talking to a guy. He was telling me about his camel ride in Jordan. And he said, he got on that camel, and they just took us in a circle. You know, Petra.
Okay.
I was laughing, but the Negev, they do have camel rides. Gotta go. You board the bus front in Jerusalem, and then they take you down to the Negev with the Bedouins, and they take you on a camel ride.
So with the Bedouins, how does that? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh no. So how does that experience dealing with the Bedouin and the Negev? Because they've been there since like forever. They've been living such an ancient life. It's been unchanged for centuries.
The Bedouins, they got the same brown skin as we do.
I know.
Sheikh Ali.
Yeah, right. I met a couple from the Sudan.
And he told me, he says, you know, some of you black Americans, and this goes with the Igbo, because I know we had discussed it with Rabbi Mordecai, that, you know, in Jerusalem. The sheikh told me that the black Americans, he says, hey, you guys belong here. I could prove it. Come back into my house. I have the 2,000 years of history. And I'm like, huh? What? Yeah, I got to talk to you further on that experience. That was something else. And Chief, I know he's with the Hebrew Israelites in Israel. He live in the Gev, I think, Arad. He said something about Hebron, where people, you know, because it was an Arab slave trade at first, where he said that some, you know, the blacks are from. And I'm like, wow, this is blowing me away. See, I want to dig into the history from the Ashkenazim history of Europe, from the history of the African Jewish people, because it, you know, Israel scattered everywhere. I just cannot believe that it's just in the northern part of the world. Israel was scattered, and if Israel is scattered, they're scattered everywhere, not just, you know, in just a certain part. So this is another thing that, you know, I wanted to explore, and it's something to bring to the world's attention. Well, anyway, thank you so much, Billy, for coming on. We love having you each time you come on. And
thank you for having me, brother.
Yeah, we'll have you on. We'll figure out the schedule and get you over to the chat room with Billy and Fred.
Look forward to it, man. I want to get real, brother. I want to be for real and get real.
Oh, yeah, you are real, for real. Yeah. great co-host, Denise, great co-host. I just want to sit back and listen.
I knew he would be.
Pretty much, you know, but I love the background. I love your history. And that's something that I think we can discuss also on Billy and Friends. You know what I'm saying? You know, we can get to that. We'll get some things up. Yeah, I'll get with Denise, because I know I've got a Ty Martin. I gotta get that date from you, and I can call him, and then we can kind of work from there on the schedule where you want to plug him in at, what works for him. Okay.
Oh, okay. That would be great. That would be great.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Oh man, thank you, Billy. You're the man, brother. You're the man, man. Thank you, man.
Hey, you're more than welcome, sir. You are too.
Thank you, brother.
Awesome, awesome. And we welcome you. We welcome you, Obi Clark, to the Black Jewish Queen live chat. I know that it's going to be productive. We're going to bring in a lot of people. And we are going to get, you know, another co-host. We're all going to be hosts, like Billy. Billy taught me a lot with the hosting and everything. Oh, yeah. And so Well, we thank everybody for listening in to the Caribbean Radio Show, the Black Jewish Queen Live Chat. And we thank you for helping us welcome our new co-host, Obi Clark. And we
thank you all.
Billy Tappan, for coming on from the chat reel. Tune in to the chat reel tomorrow at 8 p.m. He's got a great show for you. Thank you, everybody, and blessings to you all. Have a wonderful week. Shavua Tov. And bye-bye. Talk to everybody soon.
See you later. Send them along.
Bye, everyone. Shavua Tov.
Yeah.